If you believe assault is an act, not an adjective, your safety is not just on the gun, it is the gun. Freedom is a fundamental human right. Welcome to your show, Two-Way Radio with Bill Carnes. What do you believe? Your safety is your responsibility, not the government's, not anybody else's. Be a citizen, not a subject. Better yet, be a listener. Because it's an inalienable right, not a privilege. The 2A Radio Show with Bill Carnes is live, right now. Call 1-800-313-9443.
Good morning, everyone. I hope everybody had a good weekend. I know I did. I spent all day Saturday with a private client out at a range. We did a little bit of rifle training and quite a bit of handgun training. We're out at a private membership range, and this particular private membership range, which is called Desert Sportsman's Rifle and Pistol Club, we showed up there Saturday morning early to do some training, and as it turns out, they're having a special event, which they do often enough, and nobody'd read the last month's newsletter to know that. So we ended up driving out to the new Clark County Shooting Park, which has been touted as the biggest, baddest, finest public shooting park in all of the land, all of the country. And I gotta tell you, it is. It's absolutely gorgeous up there. It's beautiful. The system that they use, you shoot for 15 minutes, then there's a ceasefire. Then people can change targets, move targets, leave, new people can come in, whatever. It's all done in 15-minute intervals. And then the breaks are usually, I don't know, depends. The furthest for the break that you're going to be able to go is on the longest part of the rifle range, which is 200 yards there and then back. So it's 5 or 6 minutes maybe. So you actually get about 3 shooting sessions per hour at about 15 minutes a pop. It's pretty nice. They have a clubhouse that has a snack bar, and there's down near the shotgun area, there's actually a cafe-style restaurant. It's very cool, actually. Dig it quite a bit. Then went out and watched a little bit of the racing out at the racetrack. Then yesterday, I went out and did a little bit of skeet shooting with my buddy Scott. And I got to tell you, not as easy as it looks. Relatively successful, relatively unsuccessful. It was fun. We're definitely going to try it again. I have to tell you about Senate candidate Rand Paul. That is Ron Paul's son, running for Senate out of Kentucky. I like him. Because he has his own ideas on how guns should be working. He believes that, now this was actually written by somebody who's on the left who actually wrote this, so I'm going to read into this. It says, many of Dr. Paul's right-wing followers, of course, do believe that people should have the right to carry firearms into restaurants and bars, but never mind. But never mind. Yeah, that's what they want in the reporter rights, but never mind. That's Dr. Paul's problem. Huh. And he can explain that to the gun lobby, what he means, the bigger issue, one that voters should weigh carefully, is that he sees a linkage between gun laws and guarantees of equal rights. That's not a problem, that's actually just the way it is. The Civil Rights Act of 1964, the landmark legislation that removed racial and other barriers to public accommodations, and that has been, it's been the subject that led Dr. Paul's missteps on civil rights, missteps, nice, was predicated on the 14th Amendment's promise of equal protection of the law. Well, assertions of gun rights, on the other hand, derive from the Second Amendment, which many constitutional scholars believe is a guarantee of collective militia rather than individual rights. Interesting, because the Supreme Court said it is an individual right, and they're about to do it again in McDonald v. Chicago. So what is it that Rand Paul says? You cannot discriminate against people carrying lawfully carried guns if you have a public accommodation. It's exactly the way I look at it, exactly the way that Judge Anthony Napolitano looks at it. More after the break.
Two-Way Radio with Bill Carnes is live. 1-800-313-9443.
and welcome back. The question is, who is Richard M. Daley, the current mayor of Chicago? Well, he is the son of Richard J. Daley, former mayor of Chicago. And Richard J. Daley, he was mayor for 21 years, the longest sitting mayor in the history of the city of Chicago, and ran it like a gangster. Well, son Richard M. is doing father Richard J. very proud by doing the same thing. If he continues through the end of this year, he will become the longest sitting mayor in the city of Chicago. He's second longest right now, only to his father. And runs the city of Chicago like a tyrant. And just a filthy, corrupt piece of garbage as well, just like his father. His father was a filthy, corrupt piece of garbage. Would use his power and authority to throw people that were naysayers in jail and have them slapped around and beat up by the cops. Richard M. is not too far away from that. Uses his political clout to get people juiced through the entire system. Just a political scumbag. Coming from a politically scumbag family, literally the entire family of these guys are probably scuzzier than the Kennedys. And I know that's a tall order. The Kennedys are just a filthy group of people when it comes to their politics. I mean, just feeling so anointed that they have some sort of rite of passage just because their name is Kennedy. Well, the Daleys in Chicago are the same way. Many of them get involved in politics. The only ones in the entire family that have any honor whatsoever are the ones that actually go out into the workforce and do something for a living. The rest just continue to pollute Chicago. The nickname of Chicago is the Windy City, and that's not because of the weather. That's because of all of the BS that is spouted through their mouths. And, of course, this corrupt filth bag in Chicago now, Richard M., he is totally anti-gun. I'm going to read just a little thing. It says, this corrupt mayor is commonly reelected by the people, which means that the people of Chicago are dumb or Daley cheats to win. Not too off guard. I mean, the reason that Kennedy won the 1960 presidential election was because his father, Richard J. Daley, screwed the elections in Chicago, held things off till really, really late, and then really completely screwed the pooch on all of the records that came in, thus giving the electorate in Illinois to Kennedy, and Kennedy won. So these two families are in bed. Let's see. The city of Chicago has outrageous taxes, some of the highest in the country, but its education system is amongst the poorest in the country. Students in Chicago public schools are cheated from a good education, and thus that is a leading cause in the high crime rate of Chicago. An example of this poor education is at its University of Illinois, where most in-state students come from Chicago's suburbs and not the city itself, even though the city and suburbs are about equal in population size. As the schools get rejected from growth, Mayor Daley's interests get great treatment. Mounds of money have been spent on failed attempts at an Olympic bid, and also a great deal of money was spent on the quick renovation of Soldier Field, which was done in just 1 year. But little is spent on city projects that actually affect the people, such as having a good high school gym. The kids at Jones College Prep have gone gymless for years, and the city government and Mayor Daley have done nothing to fix that problem. Why do we relate the two? Because in 1995, Richard Daley did a big power play to get the schools under the realm of the mayor's office. That's what he did. Now, he is co-chairman of the completely anti-gun group Mayors Against Illegal Guns, along with Bloomberg, Scuzzball, out of New York, and Boston's mayor, who's just a pathetic wuss, Thomas Menino. So, he's in that crowd, right? That's what we can look forward to there with Richard Daley out of Chicago. So, we're going to read a couple of things that he's been up to, which are rather interesting. All right? We have a case where Daly actually threatens to shoot a reporter as anti-gun as Daly is. Listen to this. The Supreme Court may overturn the Chicago gun ban, siding with the recent Second Amendment ruling declaring that the language of the amendment provides for an individual right to own a firearm, a right not to be infringed by the federal government, at least. Or they might not overturn the Chicago's gun ban, siding with the 10th Amendment and a state's right to pass laws in accordance with the welfare of their citizens. Either way, two things are certain. It will probably make a, it will not make much of a difference when it comes to considering that criminals don't really care about the laws anyway, and they're still going to have Mayor Daly. So when you have a criminal in office and criminals out on the street, they work together, and you just have this filthy, disgusting criminal enterprise within your city. Mayor Daly today, this was actually from Friday, rejected the idea that the Supreme Court is likely to overturn the city's gun ban, but said that he will be ready to act quickly to put in place restrictions on gun ownership if it does. How is that? How is that you end up saying to some kid in school, look, I'm tired of this garbage. You and I, we're going to meet in the park after school to settle this. All right, we're going to settle this difference. Let's say the difference is over a girl. So you go to the park, and the plan is to beat this kid up. But you pretty much feel that you're going to lose. And what you're going to decide on is after you lose the fight, you're going to go to the girl's house and get sympathy from her because you got beat up defending her honor. Rather than the agreed upon event, look, we're going to fight, whoever wins gets the girl or gets a shot at the girl. Whoever loses goes away. Well, Daly's the punk kid that would take the ass whipping and then go over to the girl's house and say, oh, I got beat up defending your honor, instead of realizing, look, the deal is if you lose, you lose. Okay, so continuing on. It's defeatist to prepare new gun laws ahead of the court's ruling, which should come before the body recesses at the end of June, Daly said. He says, you have to have confidence in the Supreme Court. Maybe they'll see the light of day, Daly said at City Hall news conference. Maybe one of them will have an incident and they'll change their mind overnight going to and from work. So what you're saying is you're hoping that somebody has an emotional response to a constitutional question. This just goes to show you the type of individual we're dealing with here, the type of a corrupt mind. You know, it's tough. I have to tell you, they say that you cannot execute someone who's retarded because they don't know what they're doing. Well, my excuse is this. My retort is this. If someone is of such mental deficiency that they have killed and maimed people because they don't know any better, well, that's the first person that should be put to death if they're convicted. That's the way I look at it. If their mind is so out of control and so out of whack that they cannot control their violent urges, they don't need to be part of the society. And they should be the first ones in line to be executed because they cannot be reformed. Okay? And it's tough to blame a dog that bites you when the owner trains it to bite you. It's just doing what it's trained to do. It doesn't have the mental capacity to do anything else. So I have a hard time blaming Mayor Richard Daly, in part because he's just a stupid dog that had a poor trainer in his father. His father was just a complete idiot, and he trained his son to be just a horrendously, ridiculously stupid leftist moron and not understand the Constitution or want to wipe his backside with it. So it's kind of tough to blame him because of his upbringing. Either way, he shouldn't be in office, because he's not able to carry out the duties of mayor appropriately and without corruption. So it's kind of a sad thing going on in Chicago. The mayor said if the court overrules the Chicago gun ban, as expected, he'll quickly present new legislation to the city council. He also said that the handgun ban has been, quote, very effective. But that's evidently not true unless you consider that the violence in Chicago could get even worse. Laws don't make things just disappear, even behaviors. And Chicago's a shining example of how gun laws don't seem to make guns disappear. That this is particularly true when a city has a gun ban, and that city's connected to cities without a gun ban in other states such as Indiana via public transportation. Now, think of it as a zombie situation. If the problem is zombies, and your solution is to draw a line around yourself in the dirt and call it a zombie-free zone, you're probably not going to remain undead for very long because the zombies don't really care that you declared yourself a zombie-free zone and will proceed accordingly. Same with criminals. The worst part of the situation is, of course, that you're left helpless because you used an ineffective method of protection. Now, this is not to say that guns are always good in the hands of bad guys by any means, but they are certainly good when it comes to being in the hands of responsible citizens. It's the same thing with a hammer. A hammer is good in the hand of somebody who knows how to use it. Bad in the hand of maybe a kid or somebody that has no idea how a hammer is supposed to be used. They'll hurt themselves and others around them. Ensuring people have the proper understanding and take the proper care of a firearm or a gun is essential. More on this case after we return. Stay tuned. I'll be right back.
I've been roaming around, always looking down at all I see.
You can have the alcohol and tobacco. Leave the firearms to us. Right now, the 2A Radio Show with Bill Carnes.
And welcome back, everyone. We are commenting and reading through and commenting on a news conference that the corrupt mayor of Chicago, Richard M. Daley, had just this last week. And he said, let's see here, I think it was last Thursday, during the news conference, Daley reacted with the help of a prop, they call it a prop, when a reporter suggested the city's handgun ban has been ineffective given the number of shootings that still occur in Chicago. Because you're not allowed to own a handgun in Chicago, legally. The only people who can legally own a handgun in Chicago are cops or retired cops, or, of course, if the mayor gives you a pass. But that's it. Which puts the law-abiding people of Chicago at a significant disadvantage because only criminals, otherwise, have guns. Daley, to that saying to the suggestion that the handgun ban has been ineffective, said, "It's been very effective." Then picked up a gun from dozens displayed on a nearby table. They call it a prop. It was a real-life gun. And said, "If I put this up your butt, you'll find out just how effective it is. Let me put a round up your you-know-what." Yes, we know what. Now, here's a reaction from the reporter he said that to. A guy named Mick Dumke. Mick Dumke. Mayor Daley loves to brag on the local media. And given my recent line of inquiry into his politics and policies, I've never expected to be greeted with a fruit basket at City Hall. But even I was taken aback this morning when the mayor grabbed a rifle and threatened to shoot me. So my question is, why hasn't this reporter filed a report with the police department, filed a complaint against the mayor for threatening to shoot him with a rifle? Why hasn't he filed a criminal complaint? The mayor was holding a press conference to discuss what the city was doing to prepare for the Supreme Court's expected decision to overturn the city's gun ban. The short answer? All sorts of things. But we'll just have to wait until the court weighs in sometime in June to find out the details. We're hoping for the best, Daley said, but obviously planning for the worst. Guns are one of the mayor's favorite soapbox topics, and he regularly goes out of his way to point out that he despises gun manufacturers and extremists like the NRA. "It's really amazing how powerful they are," he said today, standing next to a table covered with handguns, rifles, and even a machine gun that police had seized. They're bigger than the oil industry, bigger than the gas industry, bigger than Google, bigger than President Obama, and the rest of them. Them? Who are you talking about when you say Obama and the rest of them? Are you talking about blacks? Was that a racist statement? Of course, I'm going over the board the way that most pinheads would, just because any pinheads that would otherwise listen to the rebroadcast of this show can understand. Daly also likes to highlight what he considers to be flagrant hypocrisy on the part of the defenders of gun rights. He says, now you can't walk into the Supreme Court. You have to walk in the sideway. They're going to barricade the doors or something now. I mean, they're barricading the doors, but they're saying everyone else should have guns. That's the thing that bothers me in Washington. As you know, in Washington, all things are being barricaded, all federal buildings, but they're saying everybody else should be able to carry guns. I don't understand his philosophy here. I don't understand his babbling, which is, you know, part of a corrupt mind, is somebody who just doesn't get straight to the point. They just babble. And you can hear in those words, he just babbled. But even supporters of tough gun regulation, myself included, according to this reporter, have to admit that it's not clear how much they reduce violence. Despite having some of the most restrictive laws in the country, Chicago is a national leader in shootings and murders. And the mayor himself noted that. He says, we've seen far too many instances in the last few weeks of firearms violence, including the shooting that left a cop dead just last night. This is obviously from last Thursday. So I asked, since guns are readily available in Chicago, even with a ban in place, do you really think it's been effective? I'm hardly the only guy who asked the mayor things he doesn't want to answer. And I've been responsible for at least one of his huffing, puffing, ranting tangents, which generally get the press corps laughing, thus enabling him to move to the next question without giving a real answer to the one at hand. But even by those standards, this was a masterful and surreal performance. Oh, Daly said, it's been effective. He grabbed a rifle, held it up, looked at me, and he was chuckling, but there was no smile. If I put this up your butt, ha ha, you'll find how effective this is. For a moment, the room was very, very quiet. I took a good look at the weapon. It had a long bayonet. Was this thing seized during the Civil War, he asked. He says, if I put a round up your ha-ha, the photographer snapped away. Suddenly, everybody started cracking up. Daly went on, this gun saved many lives. It could save your life, he said, meaning, I think, that getting this gun off the street might save many lives, including mine. Huh. It could save your life if you picked up a gun and shot somebody that was threatening you with it. Interesting. He went on to say more. We save all these guns and the police department sees. You can see how many we've saved. Interesting. We'll talk a little bit more about that after the break, guys. Stay tuned. We're going to finish this up and move on. I'm your host, Bill Carnes, right here on 2A Radio.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Because you can handle the truth.
Gun control, loved by dictators since 1917. The 2A Radio Show with Bill Carnes is back. 1-800-313-9443.
All right, so finishing up with this story, Daly is basically getting to the point that the seizing of guns illegally is a life-saving matter, like that really happened in Nazi Germany. He went on to say, we save all of these guns that the police department seizes. You know how many lives we've saved? You don't realize it. First of all, they're taking these guns out of someone's hands. They save their own life, meaning the cops, and they save someone else's, meaning maybe a potential victim. You cannot count how many times this gun can be used. 30, 40 times shooting people and discharging a weapon? I think it's very important. Next will be hand grenades, right? We'll say that hand grenades are okay. I mean, how far can you go in regards to mass weapons? To me, any gun taken off saves thousands of lives in America. I really believe that. I don't care what people tell me. You have to thank the police officers for seizing all of these weapons. We lead the country in seizing weapons. This is unbelievable. Well, I have to agree. It is unbelievable. Because you're taking guns away from people, and you are the murder capital of the country. He just doesn't seem to get it. And he never will. I mean, you can try to teach someone who hasn't the mental capacity how to do, I don't know, just algebra. Just basic algebra. If they haven't the mental capacity to do algebra, you're never going to train it into them. They just don't. They cannot understand it. They cannot grasp it. They don't have enough brain power to grasp it. Daly does not have enough brain power to understand that guns in the hands of the law-abiding, which is the vast majority of Americans, don't turn them into homicidal maniacs, turns them into protected citizens. In Chicago, you're a subject under the rule of King Richard. King Richard II, as a matter of fact, of Chicago, of the Daley clan. And he threatened to shoot a reporter with a bayonet-mounted rifle. So that reporter, if that reporter were armed, could have pulled his gun and defended himself and ordered the mayor to put the gun down, taken him into custody, done a citizen's arrest, and put his ass in jail. What should have happened? Now, of course, Richard Daley said Friday that he regrets his choice of words, kind of, when he suggested he'd stick a rifle with a bayonet up a reporter's butt. But he said he was trying to shock the media into exposing gun manufacturers who flood the streets with firearms. As though somebody manufactures thousands and thousands of guns and then drives around and just pitches them out of the back of a van. He said, I want to shock you, maybe scare you, to realize this is serious. Asked if he was sorry for how he went about illustrating this point, Daley said, listen to this. Sure, I'll be sorry. I'm not going to sing the song, I'm sorry. But sure, you can write it. But I hope I shocked you that you can write about now the gun manufacturers. So he's not sorry. He said, sure, I'll be sorry, not that I am, and that you can write about it. You can write that he's sorry. He wasn't sorry at all. The mayor said the focus should not be on his remarks, but about the impact of gun violence in urban America. You're right, it should be about the impact of gun violence in urban America. And how honest citizens are being gunned down by violent gang members and violent predatory individuals. And the only thing that the citizens can do to protect themselves is to grab guns and shoot. Essentially, what you're looking at in urban America is essentially a war zone. You have a bunch of small guerrilla band groups and individuals that go around and do as they will. And the mass majority of people have to look out for these small guerrilla band groups because the mass majority aren't armed. You arm the vast majority and the small guerrilla bands that are vastly outnumbered, but they're the only ones that are armed. If they're vastly outnumbered by the armed group, that's called a militia. The city of Chicago needs to get together and form their own militia under the Second Amendment and go after the people that are threatening the freedom of their state. There's my opinion for you. The mayor was talking about his controversial remarks on Thursday during a news conference in the city on the city's handgun ban. And what the city plans to do if, and in my opinion, when, this U.S. Supreme Court overturns the ban this summer. That news conference, as Chicago reporter Mick Doomkey, however you pronounce it, asked Daley if the ban had been effective, given how many people are shot in the city each year. The mayor responded by picking up a rifle with a bayonet among several guns seized that the police had put on display. It's been very effective, he said, as he held the rifle If I was to put this up your butt, you'll find out how effective this is. Let me put a round up your you-know-what. Daly said without the gun ban, people would be in danger from people with weapons such as the one he picked up. But since such weapons can be confiscated, lives have been saved, he said. On Friday, Daly said he didn't go into Thursday's news conference planning to shock reporters, but believed his outburst would spur more discussion about gun violence. Asked what prompted him to pick up the rifle in the first place, Daly said, it was a gun with a bayonet. Just think, a gun with a bayonet. What is the bayonet used for? When a reporter pointed out bayonets are not traditionally used for sticking up someone's butt, Daly said, you stick it every place. What kind of a moron comment is that? You stick it every place. That's like saying, excuse me, Your Honor, we're discussing the correlation between the gun ban in the city and basically we being the murder capital of the United States. How do you respond to that? And his response would be something like, your mama! Well, what kind of response is that? When a reporter pointed out that bayonets are not traditionally used for sticking up someone's butt, Daly said, you stick it every place. What kind of a second grade response is that? You child! You 8-year old? You have an 8-year old in the office. Daly added that he wants the news media to report more stories about gun manufacturers that are filling the streets with firearms. Okay, so forget freedom of the press. He wants him to do it his way. You already took over the schools. Why isn't the media as silent as to who the gun manufacturers are? The gun manufacturers aren't committing any crimes. You just did by threatening to take somebody out with a rifle. Wow. I hope we don't just become complacent, Daly said of gun violence. We should be outraged. We should be shocked. We are outraged and shocked because you're disarming people that could otherwise protect themselves, the victims of the violence. You're not a victim of the violence. You're just a victim of stupidity and poor upbringing. The victims of the violence are out there on the street, and your police couldn't possibly protect them. They're not even constitutionally obligated to have to. Then you want to bring up the National Guard? What is the National Guard? The National Guard are a bunch of armed citizen soldiers. Make everybody part of the National Guard without actually running through basic training. Give all the good citizens of Chicago the opportunity to own and possess a gun. Wow. Daly said at the Thursday event he's hopeful that the city will prevail in the pending case McDonald v. Chicago, which challenges the city's 28-year-old handgun ban on Second Amendment grounds. But if the city does not prevail, the mayor is calling for new ordinance to regulate guns. Daly discussed requiring gun owners to buy insurance or take firearms training classes, as well as look for new ways to challenge gun manufacturers. The manufacturers are totally out of the loop. Jackass. Now, the insurance thing would never fly. Take firearms training classes. Now, being a trainer and knowing, like, quite honestly, when I was out at the Clark County Shooting Park on Saturday shooting with a client of mine, there was a couple of guys that just exemplified, there were several people that exemplified the average gun owner. Two guys in particular. Most people were doing a very good job. But these two were the stereotype, the minority stereotype. Both of these guys had 12-gauge shotguns, just a pistol grip style. There was no stock on them, which is a total waste of time. They had targets set up at 50 yards, 50 yards. That's 150 feet away. And they were holding these pump-action shotguns down near waist level, using whatever it was. I don't know if it was buckshot or birdshot. I have no idea. But there wasn't a tremendous boom, and there wasn't much recoil, so I'd imagine it was birdshot. And they were practicing shooting from the hip with this shotgun at 50 yards. Guys, I've got to tell you, a full-length barreled shotgun, well-aimed from the shoulder at 50 yards, you might get a decent hit. If you know what you're doing. a short-barreled pistol-grip shotgun from the hip, you'd be lucky to get anything other than indentions on a paper target at 50 yards. If shooting with birdshot. So when it comes to the idea of maybe take some sort of firearms training class, hey, I'd be happy. If you're going to do that, I'd be happy to have a hand in what the training class should pertain. Because God knows all you're going to do is have a bunch of laws in there and probably not teach them how to shoot it. He said you have to go through driver's ed, you have to get a license, you have to pass a test for drivers, but you really don't have to do anything to own a gun, Daly said. Yeah, you do. You have to not live in Chicago. And by the way, the whole scheme of this getting a driver's license and going to the DMV and registering your car is actually in violation of the being able to move about the country, that sort of a clause in the Constitution, be able to move freely around your city, your state, your country, unless for commercial purposes. That's really what a driver's license is all about. But most people don't fight it. Daly lauded Illinois lawmakers for passing several common sense gun laws recently. The new laws require mandatory minimum jail time for gang members caught with illegal guns and increased penalties for shooting on or near school grounds or public transportation. A new interstate gun trafficking task force has also been established. Now, I got to tell you, that actually is good common sense gun laws. Required minimum jail time for a gang member caught with illegal guns. Well, now that's common sense. Increased penalties for shooting on or near school grounds or public transportation. Well, now that's common sense. A new interstate gun trafficking task force has also been established. As long as it doesn't violate the actual Constitution abilities to move around with guns, that's fine. If it's for illegal purposes, then that is common sense. And those sorts of laws are on the books all over the country. That's a crime law. It's not a gun law. That's a common sense anti-crime law. It happens to target crimes involving illicit usage and possession of guns, which is fine, but it's an anti-crime law. He added that fighting the gun industry is often futile. Wow, but you're still wasting the city's money in doing it because of its immunity to civil litigation. The Supreme Court heard arguments in March in McDonald v. Chicago, which challenges handgun bans in the city of Chicago and in Oak Park. The suit also asked the higher court to extend to state and local jurisdictions the sweep of its 2008 decision in the District of Columbia v. Heller case, which struck down a gun ban in the federal enclave of Washington, D.C. In Heller v. D.C., the court ruled, actually it was D.C. v. Heller, I don't know why it was written that way, the court ruled that the Second Amendment gives individuals a right to possess guns for self-defense and other purposes, but presently that decision only applied to federal laws, such as those in Washington, D.C., but the court has ruled that most of the rest of Bill of Rights applies to states and local governments, which is exactly what's going to happen in McDonald v. Chicago. Chicago's mayor considers replacing the gun ban with expanded D.C.-style gun laws because of this. Okay, so while the Supreme Court is expected in McDonald v. Chicago to strike down Chicago's handgun ban, then the decision is expected sometime in June. Rabidly anti-gun mayor Daly is exploring the different options. Resigned to the likelihood of losing his beloved handgun ban, he seeks to consolidate the consolation prize, rather, of gun laws even more restrictive than those that have replaced Washington, D.C.'s handgun ban. Now, D.C.'s gun laws are such that to come up with the laws even more strict, short of an outright ban, will require some truly creative gun hatred on the part of the Chicago government. Fortunately, from the perspective of the foreseeable citizens' disarmament advocates, Daly and his minions seem to be up to the task. One reporter asked the mayor if the city is looking into a package of laws that would deal with many of these things that Washington, D.C. is now doing. Yes! We're looking into that and maybe looking into expanding that for the protection of our first responders and neighbors as well as liability. On that score, the city is considering requiring gun owners to carry a level of liability insurance. which you couldn't do. Yep, he's planning on expanding on D.C.'s draconian gun laws, which impose fees that end up doubling the cost of an average price handgun for, among other things, the protection of first responders. He also wants to mandate liability insurance for gun owners. You'll have to show that you have insurance before you can purchase and register a gun, somewhat similar to what you have to do before buying a car, said Professor Harold Krent of Kent College, Dean of Law. It's actually been proposed before last year at a state of Illinois. The bill thankfully went nowhere. Oh, and about Daley's reference to first responders. The head of Chicago's first responder, Superintendent Jody Weiss, is so overwhelmed by Chicago's violent crime that he's proposing to track indoor and outdoor homicides separately because apparently thinks it's unfair for the Chicago Police Department to be expected to do anything about the indoor ones. That's the kind of situation in which the mayor wants to make an effective means of self-defense as close to unobtainable as possible. If Daley can't have his gun ban, he'll settle for the next best thing, making gun ownership as difficult and as expensive as possible. Stay tuned, more after the break.
Your right to listen and take action shall not be infringed. The 2A Radio Show with Bill Carnes is back.
Back off, I'll take you on. Headstrong to take on anyone. I know that you are wrong if this is not where you belong.
All right, guys, leaving Chicago behind for the moment. The Ninth Circuit Court of Appeals out of San Francisco upheld a $3.7 million verdict against Oakland, California, and two of its police officers who were accused of planting an assault rifle, whatever that might be, on a parolee's property. Officers John Parkinson and Marcus Midyett, M-I-D-Y-E-T-T, Parkinson and Midyett, appealed the ruling in favor of Tori Smith and Patricia Gray, claiming the court applied an incorrect subjective intent test when reaching its verdict. But because it's the first time the officers were making that claim in court, the circuit dismissed the appeal. In November 2007, a jury found that the officers violated the civil rights of Smith and his then-girlfriend Gray by cooking up a case against them to justify his 2004 arrest. Smith said the officers entered his East Oakland home while he was in bed and questioned him about a drug dealer. Smith was arrested and booked on a charge of possessing a semi-automatic weapon that police say was found in his yard. Prosecutors dropped the gun charge, but Smith was kept in jail for nearly 5 months before he was cleared in January 2005. Smith and Gray sued and won. The officers have denied any wrongdoing. Well, of course they have. They plant a gun and then arrest somebody when they don't give them the information that they want and throw their ass in jail. And they deny that that's wrong. Now, I'm guessing that these two a-holes should be canned and in jail. If not, maybe they should quit and go to work for Daley in Chicago. Because it sounds like the type of cops he really wants. I mean, let's try to get them recruited into Chicago. Now, I got to tell you, a lot of cops in Chicago are very nervous about what goes on in that city because of all of the violence that goes on. Because the violence, you have all of the violent criminals that are there, and the only people that are able to check them are the cops. And only the cops who have the nuts to actually be out on the streets and fight the criminals. And of course, the criminals aren't going to necessarily pick a fight with the cops. They're going to wait till the cops are away, and then they're going to prey on their unarmed civilians, the subjects of Chicago, to be their victims of the crime. You put guns in the hands of the citizens, and the cops don't need to put their lives on the line so much because the victims aren't going to be victimized anymore.
I'd like to close by saying, to those of you within our government, we will be watching you in Congress, the executive, and judicial branches all very closely as we organize to save our freedom, liberty, and country. We will not become the subjects of governmental rule.
Stay tuned for the Control Factor coming up next.
Bill will be here tomorrow. Will your freedoms? The 2A Radio Show, 7 a.m. Pacific, 9 Central, Monday through Friday.